you got to forgive the root and not just the fruit. You know, if you're wounded, you're enraged, and you move on with that. Maybe years down the road, or even not that long, maybe it's someone close to you, like your husband or your wife or a son or a daughter or a parent or someone you see every day. And you get into an argument with them because of this thing that's burning inside of you. You try to shove it down all the time. I mean, you just close the door on that thing and you don't like to think about it. But every once in a while, something they do provokes it and you start, you know, going head to head, and the words start flying, and fur starts flying, and the claws and the nails and the teeth come out. What we'll do sometimes is after that, we'll get really embarrassed and feel bad and stuff because we really do love the person. And so we'll forgive them for what they said that day that caused the argument. And maybe the following week it happens all over again and we have this big blowout, you know, throwing frying pans across the room and carrying on. And then we feel all bad about it and, gosh, I shouldn't have done that. And so we'll forgive them for what they said that day. But we have never truly forgiven them for what they did that month or that year that keeps bringing this stuff out every so often, every week or every month. We're not dealing with the root issues. We'll ask for forgiveness for being mean about it today, but we won't go back to when that thing really took place and wrench that thing out of our soul and say, God, this is ugly in your eyes. This is wicked in your eyes. My bitterness is evil and it's wicked, and you have told me over and over and over and over that I'm to take that out of my soul, and I nurture it and I coddle it and I feed it and I just like a pet grievance. And every time you say, I need to forgive, I might forgive what happened today or last week because of that, but I don't excise that thing out of my soul, and God wants us to take it out by the root. Don't just forgive the fruit of that, the bad fruit that comes out and pops its ugly head once in a while. Take it out by the root. Reach down in your soul and pull that thing out in front of God and say, God, it is time. This has gone on long enough, and enough is enough, and I'm going to deal with this thing today for now, right now, for good. Forgive the root and not just the fruit. Take that, whatever it was they did, and you don't have to justify it. If you think it was evil, it probably was. You don't have to say, well, there was some excuse or this, that, or the other thing. Say, God, it's probably more evil than I even realized it was, but I'm not justifying it. I'm just forgiving it. I'm going to give it to you instead. I'm not going to feed it any longer. I'm not gonna nurture it. I'm not gonna pet it or stroke it or speak to it. I'm gonna give it up, and I'm gonna lay it before your throne, and I'm gonna leave it there and walk away forever. And I know that probably every one of us has something down in the depths of our lives that is painful, and it wasn't right. And it wasn't right. It was wrong. But God doesn't want us to be chained to that thing any longer. He wants to set us free. And He calls us to forgive that from the depths of our soul, to just give it to Him. We don't have to even understand it completely. Just say, God, here it is. It's yours. Set me free today. Forgive me my sins as I forgive those who have sinned against me, Lord. I was wicked, and when I came to the cross, I was evil and fallen and wicked, and you embraced me and washed me in your own blood. Lord, how can I not do the same for those who have sinned against me? Praise God. I don't know what you want to do, Lord, today, but I know that there are things in our lives right now, and I don't know how much of this is blocking the fullness of your power in us, but I know that you want to set us free, God. I pray you give us the grace even now to forgive, Lord. Jesus said, he took the bread and he gave, when he given thanks, he blessed and he said, take, this is my body which is broken for you. It might break us to forgive. I mean, it really might break us to forgive. Some of that stuff is really hard. And it's ugly and it's very painful. But he said, this is my body which is broken for you. I'm willing to be broken so that you can receive forgiveness. Are we willing to be broken so that they can receive forgiveness? Can we stand in his shoes? The last thing he said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. What does that mean? We say, we've probably said it 300 times or more, 1,000 times, lead us not into temptation. Is there anything inside of us that says, wait a minute, God never tempts anybody. God cannot be tempted by sin, neither does he ever tempt anybody with sin. So what does it mean to say, God, lead us not into temptation? Are we saying, God, unless I ask, you're gonna put a stumbling block in front of me and tempt me to fall? Your word says you don't do that. Like it says in James, let no one say when he's tempted, I was tempted by God. Tempted by God. God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. So what do we mean? Lead us not into temptation. Well, this is what I think it means. That word temptation in the Greek, it's morally neutral. Doesn't have anything that really chains it to evil or good or anything like that. It doesn't necessarily mean to be tempted to do evil per se. It's a word, and I hope I say this right, perasmos. Everybody say it. Perasmos. What's interesting is right before that, in James, right before that verse in James, it says a couple verses before that, it uses that same word again, and it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various perasmos, trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Count it all joy. Joy. Not just like, okay, not just tolerance. Count it all tolerance. I'll put up with this thing God is carrying me through. You know, I'll just grit my teeth and bear with it. He said, count it as joy. Celebrate. Man, when life starts to come unglued and things are flying and the world is chaos around you and you're not sure because your whole world is turned upside down, God says, count it as joy. Start shouting. Start celebrating. Start singing and worshiping and praising God. When you fall into various trials. That same word, perasmos, that's used there as trials, that's the word that Jesus used when he said, lead us not into temptation. Well, that doesn't fix anything. So if we're supposed to count it all joy, why are we asking us not to lead it? Why are we asking him not to lead us there? Yeah. I'm so confused. Just shut up and let me go home. What does he mean? Here's what I believe he means. And John MacArthur agrees with me and a couple other guys do too. He's talking about an attitude. An attitude that loves God so much that just hates when we stumble and fall and sin against him. How many people here hate when you stumble? When you fall and you stumble, you do something and it just breaks your heart and you're like, God, man, when am I going to get this right? It's to have an attitude that hates sin so much and desires to walk for God so much that we don't want to be put in any kind of place where we could stumble. Not necessarily even be tempted, but even the trials that test our soul. This word actually means in the Greek, perasmos, it means a testing or proving. To demonstrate the quality or the integrity of something. And even though those trials may be good for us, God wants us to have an attitude that we are so on fire, so sold out for him, that we don't want to be put in any place where there's any possibility that we could dishonor him but through some mess up of ours. That we hate that so much that we just want to be in a place where we can manifest his glory. But if it's necessary, Lord, don't let me go in that place. Don't put me through that trial. God, I want to live for you. I don't want to fall and stumble. But God, you know, if it's necessary, if it's going to do me good, amen, bring it on. But deliver me from the evil one. give me victory in that situation. I might have to walk that hard path. I might have to walk through that fire. I might have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But Lord, in that situation, if you must take me there, Lord, deliver me. Give me victory in that. Let me come out on the other side shining for you. Job said, when I'm tested, I'll come out as pure as gold. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane said, Father, if it's possible for this cup to pass, if there's any other way, Lord, don't take me into this place. If you can do this any other way, the thought of you burning in wrath against me when we have been in the most intimate love and in embrace for all from all eternity, God, to take those sins upon me, Lord, and to suffer for those things. God, if there's any other way that you can bring this about, don't do that. But God, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Lead us not into trial and temptation, Lord, but deliver us. If you have to, deliver us from evil. You know, we said this a couple weeks ago, the enemy of the best is the good. Lord, don't put me in a place, there might be things that are not evil in and of themselves. They're not even an inducement to sin. They're just things that this world has to offer. And God gives us richly all things to enjoy. We can be grateful for the blessings He gives in our life, but those things can become our enemy and a stumbling block if they keep us from being 100% sold out for Jesus Christ. And it doesn't take sin. It doesn't take wickedness. It can take something very nice and pleasant and good that can steal our heart and our affections and cause us to lose the path. When Jesus prayed so hard that he bled blood through his pores, sweated drops of blood, all he was asking for is to be spared the cross. I mean, is it such an evil thing to say, Lord, please don't let them rip my back to shreds and spit upon me and mock me and then drive nails through my hands and feet and shove a spear up into my gut? Please don't. Is it such an evil thing to say, Lord, I really don't particularly want to hang from a cross for 6 hours while the filth of the world is plowed upon my head and the wrath of God comes down on me to die for them in their place? Is that such an evil thing to say, I really don't feel like being crucified today? It wasn't wicked. Mercy, I mean, life is a good thing. So that trial that but sometimes the good can get in the way of the best. And if God had said, okay, fine, you won't have to go through this, we all would be in hell. It was the only thing that could save John D'Souza from an eternity in hell. And so Jesus Christ went to the cross and suffered so that I could live. He could have been king. He should have been king. He was the king. But he put his crown aside and he put his throne aside and he said, I've got business to do first. That'll come later. Right now I have to die for John D'Souza and for Joan Rafter and for Nathan. I've got some people I've got to suffer for, and I'd rather do that first, thank you very much, because that's what my Father has sent me to do. And so when we cry, Lord, lead us not into temptation, we're not saying, God, please don't tempt me to sin. We're saying, God, please don't lead me down a path that's going to deter me from fulfilling your purpose in my life. God, whatever it is you want to do in my life, here's a steering wheel, do it. I want it all, God. I want nothing less than what you have for me. And I don't care what the cost is. There is nothing in my life that is worth missing your plan. There is nothing in my world that is worth missing what you have destined me to receive. And God, whatever that might be, I don't want to go through that trial. I don't want to go through that furnace that will burn the sin out of me that's keeping me from you. But God, if that's what it's going to do, then lead me on. Just deliver me so that I come out like Job, pure as gold. Here I am, Lord. Take all of me. My life and my hopes and my dreams. My very heart of hearts, God, I lay it as a sacrifice upon the altar of your throne. Deliver me, Lord. Be magnified in me. Whatever it costs for your plan, here it is, God. Please give me the grace to lay it at your throne. Is there anything that's holding you back from God today? Is there anything that you, as you consider the call of God upon your life, that you're saying, yeah, I want that, it sounds nice, but man, not if it costs me that. I'm not sure I can pay that price. I'm not ready for that. What is standing in the way between you and the fullness of what God wants to pour into your life? Whatever it is, I invite you today to offer that as a sacrifice at His throne, at His altar. To lay that down, to make yourself a living sacrifice, painful though it may be. Whatever hurt you need to forgive, whatever pleasure you've been nursing, medicating yourself with, whatever dream you have that you hope is from God, but if He ever asked you to give it to Him as a sacrifice and an offering, you don't know if you have the grace to do it. Whatever it is that's standing between you and God, if it's a relationship that is just so out of whack, you don't know how to fix it, but you want to give it to God and say, God, this has occupied my heart for too long. I need to just give grace. And whatever I think this relationship is keeping me from, I need to just give that to You and offer mercy and grace to this person. I don't know. I don't know what it is You brought in with You today. I don't know what kind of things are keeping you from God. Is it fear? But I just want to, I'm not even going to call the music ministry up here, because we don't need a band if we mean business with God. We don't have to work it up. You're either serious or you're not. I pray God would give us the grace to come before Him now. I just want to open this altar up right now for anybody who wants to get to do business with God. In fact, you can just sit in your seat if you want to do that. You don't even have to come up forward. But I just want to take some time. There's nothing happening today that is so pressing that we can sacrifice eternal consequences for that. This is what this is all about. Let's meet God today. Amen.